I do appreciate being here in Wilson, Wisconsin this morning. Thank you, people, for your hard work that you have done on this facility, on this church. Laura, where are you? Laura, are you hiding here somewhere? Not here. Oh, she's there. You're way in back there. Laura gave me a personal guided tour of your facility this morning and told how you worked and sweat blood and all these things and got everything pretty close to being almost finished. And congratulations. This is nice to be in a facility like this. It's a lot of hard work, a lot of hard effort by a lot of people, a lot of sacrifice. And may God bless you and fill your rows full so that you have to think about expansion here within the next few years again. And you're saying, oh, no, not quite so fast. But that's all right. If God does it, it's good. Well, ¿quién habla español aquí? Who speaks Spanish here? Poquito, solo poquito. Okay. All right, well, we won't talk very much in Spanish then. We'll just stick mainly to English. Let us tell you a little bit about ourselves. And my wife is not here, as you might have noticed, but she does send her greetings. And we'll tell you a little bit about us and what we do and go from there. And let's see, who have I got? Josiah, you want to go ahead and start that first slide there? That would be one. Give me the next one here with my pretty wife on there. Beautiful. All right, the pretty one there, that is my wife. That is my wife, Ruth. This August, we will have been married 35 years. This next August, she grew up in a pastor's home, knows well the work of the ministry, the heartache, the headache, the blessings, everything that's involved in ministry. She knows these things. She's been a missionary to the public school system for a number of years, has taught fourth grade for a number of years, and that's probably why we get along so well. She has that fourth grade mentality, you know, sit, write, go, stand, and I do all these things, and it works out very well. Has for 35 years. And we have two fine daughters and one fine son-in-law. We are looking for another son-in-law. My youngest daughter would probably kill me if she knew I was saying that. But anyhow, we are kind of spying out the ground and trying to see if there's any future prospects. We do have two wonderful grandchildren. Our oldest daughter, son-in-law, and then we have a third one that is due sometime within the next 2 weeks. So we'll have a third grandchild, which is, for those of you who are grandparents, I mean, grandkids are just a wonderful invention, you know. And what I like about grandkids is that when you get tired, you can always send them back to mom and dad, and you don't have to deal with them. But we enjoy them a lot. Next one, please, Josiah. We are, I'm going to give you a quiz at the end of this, maybe, if I remember. But I want you to track with me a little bit, okay? I'm born and raised in Wisconsin. Okay? My folks still live up in Waupaca area. My brothers and sister live around the Milwaukee area for the most part. I've got one brother and sister in the La Crosse area. But born and raised in Wisconsin. Okay? Went to school in Missouri at Evangel. Worked in television in South Dakota for 24 years, and became ordained Assembly of God missionaries, or ministers, in South Dakota. And now we have been based, in the last several years, we've been based in the foreign country of Florida. Anybody know where Florida is? It's on the southeast corner of the United States, okay? Florida, and we've been going in and out of Latin America from that point in time. So born and raised in Wisconsin, over to South Dakota for all practicality for work, and then into ministry from that point. But let me tell you where I got my start in ministry, and that was in used to be Community Gospel Tabernacle at 6605 West Villard Avenue in Milwaukee. And I remember that day so well when the fire fell. I was 9 years old. This is my start in the ministry. I was mowing the lawn. Dad had given me these instructions not to gas up the lawnmower immediately after it ran out of gas and try to start it up again. That's before the mufflers we had today. And I had a ball game that afternoon I wanted to get to. So I was mowing the church lawn and ran out of gas. I filled it up. And I cranked it over and the fire fell. Actually, it rose. It was an awesome sight. And anyhow, needless to say, it ended my lawn mowing career for that day. And it also ended my ball game that afternoon for some reason. I don't know why Dad found it fit to do that, but anyhow, some of you parents would understand that. I to this day have difficulty. But anyhow, that's where my start in ministry occurred. Hopefully it's gone better since then. My wife and I have both been saved at a very young age. Ruth was saved at age 5, and I was saved at age 7 that I remember. I don't know how many times I went to the altar prior to that. But I do remember at age 7 praying with my mother in our living room and asking Jesus Christ to be my Lord and Savior. Both of us were baptized in the Holy Spirit at a very young age. Ruth was baptized at about 11, and I was baptized at age 13 in the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in other tongues. And I remember being baptized in the Holy Spirit. We had one of those evangelists who was kind of one of these push-it-in-your-stomach kind of guys. You ever have one of those? I hope you didn't. But anyhow, we did. And I was hungry for the Holy Spirit, as we should be. And so people would get on this shoulder and say, "Hang on, brother, hang on." They'd get on the other shoulder and say, "Let loose, brother, let loose." And another lady would grab my jaw and she'd go like this. La, 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 la. Evangelist comes up to me and he goes like this. "Out of your belly will flow rivers of water." I thought, "Dear Lord, you do that again, there's going to be more than rivers of water that flows out." I finally got alone in a corner and I said, "Dear God, if you don't baptize me in the Holy Spirit, these people are going to kill me." And God baptized me in the Holy Spirit, and it's been a fresh, ongoing experience ever since. And I enjoy coming to the well. Just a current, constant thing. Next one, Josiah. In our ministry, we are media and education is our main thrust of what we do. We open doors for people in the realm of media and education. I worked at a TV station in Rapid City, South Dakota for 24 years. I trained operators how to run all the equipment that you see in a TV control room. My wife was an educator, taught fourth grade, as I mentioned earlier. But, you know, in a TV control room, there's all this stuff, all these wonderful monitors and cameras and scopes, all these good things. And God has used this background to get us into missions. You're saying, "Well, how can a media guy get into missions? And his wife a teacher. How is it possible?" You know, with God, if you're available and you yield your talents to him, God will use whatever you have. God will use whatever you have. And I remember praying and asking God that he would use what we have. And in 1997, we were very content. We were working in Rapid City, South Dakota. We were associate pastors at our church. We thought, it just doesn't get any better than this. We had our spiritual work, and we had our physical work. And we both had good jobs, nice house, and we were very comfortable. And in that comfortableness, God began to speak to our hearts, and little did we know that we'd be in the Latin American world. We thought we were heading for the European world. Any Europeans here from European ancestry? You know, way back when? Yeah. I'm German by nature. And it's often said about German, you can tell a German, but you can't tell them much. I don't know if that's true or not. Any Germans here will verify that? Yeah. Gott segne dir, meine Damen und Herren. Yeah. So anyhow, so here we are, very content, and God speaks to our hearts, and we start heading into the world of missions. And in order to become a missionary, we had to take 3 psychological tests to become an Assembly of God missionary. Take all 3 of them. Now, it's no miracle that my wife passed all 3 of those psychological tests. But here they approved me after taking all 3 of those psychological tests. Okay. Now, some of you have caught that. Some of you missed it. That's all right. Anyhow, so here we are. We end up going to Latin America. We thought we were going to Brussels, Belgium, but God changed the course in midstream just prior to going to orientation. And so we went to Latin America, got involved with the ministry there. And we had to go to language school. We spent a year of our life aprendiendo el idioma del cielo, learning the language of heaven. For us of European heritage, we must learn Spanish once we enter heaven. Okay? Well, that's not doctrinally sound. Don't preach it to anybody. Okay? So we went to language school, and I'll tell you 1 or 2 stories of that, and then we'll continue here. I was talking to my neighbors one day, and I was trying to say how at age 45, 46, it is so difficult for me to learn another language. I was trying to tell them my head is like concrete. The word for head is cabeza. The word for beer is cerveza. I said, mi cerveza es como concreto. My beer is like concrete. They said, oh, we're not going to drink with you. Your beer is like concrete. You know, I'll never drink, never have. But they said, we're not going to drink with you because your beer is like concrete. And then one day I was talking with them, and we had a weekend free, and we were going to visit a butterfly farm. And my question in English is, how do I get to the butterfly farm in my van? And the way the question came out in Spanish is, how do I get the butterfly farm inside my van? So when you're learning another language, you can mess things up pretty good. Anyhow, one of the things that we do is we open doors for people in Latin America in the realm of technology and education. One of the doors that we opened is in Ecuador. In Ecuador will be our next assignment. That's going to be our next four-year term is in Ecuador. But in Ecuador, what has happened is a TV station has fallen into the hands of an Assembly of God missionary. He's putting on very family-friendly programming, gospel programming, gospel teaching. Every half hour, they run a very strong evangelistic commercial. They have a call-in program, and over 14,000 people have committed their lives to Jesus Christ through this program and are now serving the Lord and are being discipled into local churches in Ecuador. Our part in this, we opened the door for some young editors, those people that you see behind me there. We opened the door, helped them learn how to use their software a little bit better, how to be more efficient at editing. It doesn't seem like much, but when you're impacting thousands of people and touching people for Jesus Christ, it's a good thing. You know, God's not intimidated by technology. You know, he didn't look at television one day and say, whoa!
Did that scare you?
I love doing that. Anyhow, that makes sure you're awake. Are you awake? Me too. It scared me. It scared me too. What was I telling you about? Oh, yeah, technology. God's not intimidated by technology. He didn't look at television one day and say, whoa, people in a box. How'd they get there? Or a gig of who? You know, God has revealed this as a tool, and it's just as much a tool of the harvest as anything else that we use in the world of missions. You know, years ago, we used to hear about how that when Jesus comes, every eye will behold him. As a kid, I used to think, how is this possible? How is it possible? Whether God uses this method or not, I don't know, but the technology is in place right now. Jesus would come today, descending in the cloud. The technology is in place that every eye could behold him, because it's in a matter of minutes that you're picking up news from all over the world. Anywhere in the world, you can pick up news. So anyhow, that's what God is doing in one of the things there. Next one, Josiah. Medellin, Colombia was an interesting door. I was doing a media training seminar in Panama. Had lunch with a pastor, and he said, would you come to our country, the country of Colombia, and show us how to edit video? We have a vision of touching our city, the city of Medellin. Anybody know what Medellin is famous for? Drugs, major drug cartels, okay? Major drug cartels. Would you come and show us how to edit video? We have an opportunity to put our evangelistic programs and our healing programs on our local cable station. Would you help us? And so I went and opened the door for them, showed them how to bring their raw video into their computer, shorten it down to an hour in length, put on some titles, take it back out to tape, and take it to the local cable station, where to this day, the gospel message is airing in Medellin, Colombia. Why? Because somebody went and opened the door. It sounds so simple, just to open the door. That's what we do, open doors. Next one, please, Josiah. Curaçao is a tiny little island, about 178 square miles. It's 40 miles north of Venezuela. I didn't know it existed until I went there. And what happened in Curaçao is the cable system talked to a pastor by the name of Pastor Time and said, Pastor Time, we want you to do television on our cable system. We want you to take this channel and fill it with programming, any kind of programming that you want, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. That's a big challenge. Pastor Time, he knew a lot about television. You turn it on, you You turn it off, change the channels in between. That's what he knew. So I went over there and laid out a plan for them, what they needed to have for crew, equipment, different things like this, and how to block out a program, how to put all these things together. Now they have a whopping crew of 3 people. They've got a 67-year-old Cuban who's doing their video editing, a couple younger people who are learning and catching on, and they're doing 1 hour a day of television, and it's impacting over 200,000 people with the gospel message in the island of Curacao. That's pretty cool. I like that. Next one, Josiah. Mexico City. Oh, yeah, that was a good time. We had a good time in Mexico City. Small little town, a little bit bigger than Wilson. Actually, it's probably a lot bigger than Wilson. 32-plus million people. 32-plus million people. Traffic is absolutely insane. 2-lane roads become 7-8 easy. Motorcycles in between. Your turn signals on your car mean nothing. Of course, they're getting to mean that way here in the United States, too. But there particularly, no turn signals. The only way they can control traffic through downtown, they have these big concrete speed bumps raised up about 10 inches high, and they have them spaced about every 100, 150 feet. That's the only way they can slow down traffic through downtown Mexico City. What's happening in Mexico City is a missionary there was having a lot of evangelistic campaigns. And they had the opportunity, if they could turn these campaigns around within a 24-hour period to a one-hour program, they could place them on a major television network in Mexico City in prime time. I'm talking between 6 and 10 at night, and I'm talking like our ABC, CBS, NBC, or Fox. And so I went and just helped 2 young editors learn how to edit more proficiently, how to be more efficient with their software. And that's it seems like so little to open a door, but they were impacting literally thousands of people every night with the gospel message, and many people were getting saved, and many people were getting filled with the Holy Spirit, and many people were getting healed because they were able to do this. Funny thing happened there where they had taken me out to dinner, and I had one of those little habanero peppers. It's just a little thing, some of them. And this one was really powerful, and it caused an allergic reaction. It swelled up this whole side of my mouth, and it stayed this way for 2 days. So here I am speaking, training in Spanish with my mouth all puffed up like that. It's a great experience. You ought to try it sometime. Next one, Josiah. Jalapa, Mexico, we had a wonderful time there. We had a week-long conference on the Holy Spirit, talking about why the Holy Spirit is important for you today, why God has this gift for us, why we need to speak in other tongues. All week long, we taught on this. Night after night, we had services, wonderful services, and here you see the people responding to an altar call one of the nights that we had. And night after night, people were baptized in the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in other tongues. And it was just a good thing of what God is doing in Latin America. Next one, Josiah. Dominican Republic. I would actually, if I was not itinerating, I would actually be leaving tomorrow to go to the Dominican Republic. Every year, the week before Easter, we have over 600 Sunday school teachers from all over the island that take one of their 2 weeks of vacation for the year and come to learn how to be better Sunday school teachers. And we enjoy going and teaching the teachers how to make illustrations that make their Sunday school classes come alive. The last several years, I've been teaching, of course, technology. The young people there are so hungry for somebody to come alongside and to show them how to use these tools. The little girl on the right there, Anna, she was missing half the keys on her keyboard. She didn't have near enough RAM or enough horsepower in her computer to do what it was supposed to do. And yet at the end of class, she waved me over and said, Professor, come here. And I came, and I looked, and here she had done everything that I had showed her, and she was just beaming from ear to ear, knowing now that she could use this tool to bless her people in her church. It's a good thing what God is doing in Latin America with technology. Next one, please. We're presently working with IBMM. This is not the computer company. Okay? This is not the computer company. It's Instituto Biblico Multimedia, or Bible Institute Multimedia. And if you want to take your nap here this afternoon, just say that three times really fast before you do, and it might put you to sleep, maybe. It's Instituto Biblico Multimedia. All right, next one, please. We believe the church is strongest when its leaders are trained in the Word and are able to effectively teach others. What's happening in Latin America is so many of these young pastors are going out without anything more than their salvation experience, which is good, but they don't have any foundation to keep them from being blown away by all these strange doctrines that permeate Latin America. And we're trying to put a foundation under their feet. Next one, please. God is calling people into the ministry in Latin America in huge numbers. People are responding to be pastors, they're responding to be missionaries, and they're just flat out going. They're getting saved and they're going out doing works. Example, Honduras, there's 40 young men just recently saved. The superintendent says to them, walk as far as you can walk and start a church. How would you like that, George? Walk as far as you can walk and start a church. You know? So what we're trying to do is put a foundation under these young pastors who are going out there, these young missionaries. Next one, Josiah. Those are some of the courses that we produce. I've got one with me here today if I don't drop it all over everything. What we do is we get a book like this, done by the Faith in Action series. This is the book of Acts, Hechos del Espíritu Santo, book of Acts. And we translate it from English into Spanish. Okay? And then for each course, we make 6.5 hours of video on either DVD or VHS that goes with the course to augment the course. We use drama, we use pastors who are teaching, we use students who are asking questions, we use just a whole variety of things to try and make the Bible come alive for these pastors who are out in sticks. Next one, please. I told you that already. Next one. I love it when I get ahead of myself. We use experts in biblical areas, charts and maps, illustrations, all these things. Some of you might recognize Janie Weed there, has been a missionary for years in Latin America, now in Spain, and different people like her caliber to add to these courses. Next one, please. Testimony from Colombia. I'm a pastor where there's a lot of guerrilla warfare in Colombia. It is a great risk for me to go to the Bible school in the city. With these courses, I can study at home. Next one, please. My wife and I pastor in a place far from the Bible school in Peru. It is so good to have these courses available to us. Next one, please. Honduras, every 2 months they have a 3-day intensive Bible school there. Every 2 months. And they were about to run out of material. We just happened to have a friend of ours who just happened to be passing through, who just happened to be carrying our material, who just happened to stop at this school. Don't you love it how God just happens to put things together? It's just a good God coincidence. Anyhow, so he comes there, they're about to cancel, and he says, here, why don't you look at this? They're actually looking at our Old Testament survey course right now. And the school was able to continue. They'll receive our courses as we get them completed to keep going. And so that's one instance where the courses that we're working on has continued a Bible school for pastors. That's a good thing. Next one, please. Next one. Some people are interested in projects. If these grab your eye, that's fine. Next one. The next 4-year term, we've been asked to take over as the directors of IBMM, and we have agreed, whether we were crazy or I'm not sure what, but anyhow, we have agreed, and we're also moving to Ecuador, which I told you about earlier. Now, when we move to Ecuador, we will tie into that TV station that I told you about. We will be training facilitators there for the people at the TV station. We will have a facility in Latin America where people can come to for technological training. And the people that we are training, we can use to continue producing these courses for the pastors who are out in the sticks who need a foundation underneath them. So it's kind of a win-win thing for everybody, and we feel real good about what God is doing in this thing. Next one, please. This is a little bit of Ecuador. We are looking at 2 cities right now, one in the north central, one in the south central. The one in the north central is called Quito. It is the capital. it's about 2.5 million people. One in the south doesn't have near as many people. We are just really asking for God's wisdom here. We'd ask you to pray for Ecuador. We ask you to pray that the president would get saved, changed, or removed. He's a very leftist president. He's a very good friend of Hugo Chavez in Venezuela. And we're just asking that he would get saved, changed, or removed. And if you would pray for that, that would be a very wonderful thing. Next one, please. We need some people who will pray, and I'll talk to you about that in just a second here. We do need $1,800 yet in monthly support, where we need people to come on a monthly basis. And we do have a $30,000 cash budget that I'm happy to tell you that we're well over halfway on. So if those things would grab your heart and cause you to pray for us, that would be very, very good. Next one, please. I want to show you a motorcycle tow truck in the Dominican Republic. The motorcycle on the right is broke down, run out of gas or whatever. The motorcycle on the left is pushing him. Foot is on the foot peg or on the shock absorber. We are following behind them at 60 miles an hour, just to give you a little idea of perspective. Okay. Next one, please. I've already mentioned there's some off-the-wall driving in Latin America. This guy here really took a wrong turn. But actually, it's an ad for a car dealership in Santo Domingo, Dominican Republic. Just kind of a creative way of doing it. Next one, please. And Mr. Parrott here, he says thank you to you. At the end of service here, I want you to pick up a prayer card, because I need to have people who will pray for us. We just really need people who will pray for us. It has a picture of myself and my wife. You'll enjoy it better for my wife than for me. But anyhow, nonetheless, pick one up and pray for us. And here's why. John Wilkie and I, another missionary who works with us, we went to Uruguay, Montevideo, Uruguay. When they suspect something in your luggage in Uruguay, they hit this button and this red light goes whoop, 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 whoop. And they suspected something in our luggage with our camera gear. And so they waved us over to customs. Customs guy is saying, you've got to pay the fine. We're saying, we can't pay the fine. He said, you must pay the fine. We can't pay the fine. Now, this was equivalent of about $800. We just don't carry that much cash when we travel. So he waves over the supervisor. The supervisor comes over. He does the same thing. You must pay the fine. We can't pay the fine. About 5 minutes into this, all in Spanish, all of a sudden the supervisor looks like somebody hit him on the head with a baseball bat. He gets real glassy-eyed, and then he looks at us like, why are you even standing in front of me? And he waves us on through, doesn't even look in one suitcase. Didn't look in one. And John and I are going like, what happened? We had no idea what happened. The next day we got an email from John's brother. And he said, yesterday at such and such a time, which was exactly the time that we were going through customs, he said, I had such a burden to pray for you. Were you having any kind of difficulty? Yes, we were. So please, please, please pick up a prayer card here and please become prayer partners with us. I want to show you a little video here now that will tell you a little bit about our ministry, and then we'll go on from there. Okay, Josiah, let her rip.
Doors come in many shapes and sizes. We are Gary and Ruth Kirchhoff, Assemblies of God.
There's pictures that go with this.
The doors of media and education for the people of Latin America and the Caribbean.
All right, let's blow it off, guys. We won't worry about it.
Train nationals in the use of television.
What's that?
Computers and better ways of teaching. Our main purpose is to come alongside people and enable them to follow.
No, we'll just dump it. We'll be all right. We'll be okay.
The privilege of being used to teach and train pastors.
Give you a third try.
In the Latin America and Caribbean area to effectively use the tools of media and education.
How you like it? Okay, blessings, guys, really. We'll just blow it off. Those things happen. Those things happen. Watch them get it for me here while I'm turning around. I'll take about a minute or two just to entertain just a couple of questions if you got them. And I'll want to take you into the Word very briefly here. And any questions you might have? I'll ask one for you. Usually one of the questions people ask is, what is the strangest thing you ever ate? The strangest thing I ever ate is called cuy. C-U-Y. It is guinea pig. And they roast it on an open fire. It's about this long, all stretched out. And then they bring it all out to you on a platter. The whole thing. Little paws, head, you know. They give you some salsas to dip it in. And it kind of tastes like chicken. I was so glad we had another lady with us from another ministry. And she said, oh, Señor. She said, would you mind if I had the head? By all means, my sister, be blessed to have the head. You know, so it's that's one of the strangest. So that's the first question. I'm going to give you two more if you got any questions. You're probably not used to questions on a Sunday morning, are you? Okay. How about a half of one? Yes, ma'am. I am still learning. I am still learning. We spent a year in Costa Rica, immersed in the culture, immersed with the people, and so basically a year, but I'm still learning, and they're very gracious and kind to me. Yep. Anything else? Yes, ma'am. Yes, I do, and I find I have to listen very carefully. Example, when working with the Puerto Ricans, they'll take about 30 or 40 words and slam them all together and cut off the ends and the beginnings and don't take a breath. And then you're dealing with Nicaraguans, and they will drop the R's and the S's at the ends and beginnings of words. And there's a lot of different dialects, just like we have dialects in the United States. One more? Going once? Yes, sir. Yeah, there is one thing, one particular thing. We had been itinerating for about a year and a half. It had come to December. We were supposed to leave in, this was December of 99. We were supposed to leave in January of 2000. In the beginning of December, Springfield called up and they said, we don't know what's happening. Your money's not coming in. It's just not coming in. You know, we can extend you one more month, but that's about it. After that, you're going to have to go flip burgers or something. And so the next day, I didn't do any calling of pastors because, you know, I do a lot of calling and stuff like that. I didn't call. I didn't write. I didn't do anything. All I did was pray. And I said, God, if you want us, you're going to have to take care of it. Didn't do a thing. The very next day, I get a call from Springfield, and they say, we don't know what happened in the last 2 days, but your money is coming in. Get ready to go by the first of the year. So that's a very clear thing for us. Okay? All right. Let me just take you into the Word very briefly. I promise I will have you done before 3 o'clock this afternoon. I've been it's an all-around good day here, isn't it? I've got these fold-up glasses. Some of you can see their fold-up glasses. And they normally work very well. But today they decided they wanted to tangle up here. I want to take you into the book of Luke here very quickly. And Luke chapter 1, and what I'm going to read to you, you're going to think is the Christmas story. But let me just read it to you and pray that something here will touch your heart. In the sixth month, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, to a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will be with child and give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end." "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I am a virgin." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she who is said to be barren is in her sixth month, for nothing is impossible with God." And note here Mary's response. "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May it be unto me as you have said." Then the angel left her. And just a thought or two on this. There are so many times that when God speaks to our hearts about doing something. He speaks to us, we know beyond a shadow of a doubt that God is talking to us. Like, help your neighbor fix his car. Watch your neighbor's kids. Walk your neighbor's dog. Bake your neighbor a cake. We know that God is speaking to us. And we come up with all these arguments. "Oh, Lord, I can't bake a cake as good as somebody else can. Or God, I couldn't share my love with you at all. I couldn't do that. That's pastor's job. Or I couldn't bring comfort to this family." We have all these excuses. If we're honest, don't raise your hand, but how many of you have had an excuse or two once or twice in your life? Yeah. We've all been there. We've had excuses. I've had my own. Getting into missions, you know, you think, God, there's so many more capable people than me. There's people who know so much more than me. Why me, Lord? And yet, if we would take the attitude that Mary took, "I am your servant. Be it unto me as you have said." Take that home with you. And when God speaks to you this week about doing something practical, something tangible for your neighbors, your family, your friends, be quick to respond and say, "Be it unto me as you have said, Lord. Help me to yield and do what you have said me to do." Very simple. Just take that home. I'm not a long-winded preacher. That's it. Take it home. Take it to the bank. It's good stuff. Lord, let me be willing to do what you want me to do. Just help me, Lord. And with that, one more thing. Que Dios les bendiga ricamente. May God bless you richly. Thank you, Pastor Rick, for letting me come. Thank you, people, for letting me share. God bless you.
If we could have the ushers come back at this time, we'll take a love offering for our guest missionary. Father, we are so grateful that you do use people and you call people to your work. And Lord, as we're reminded today that the training that we have in life in whatever area that might be, Lord, you can use that. And we are so humbled and grateful that you want to use us. And Lord, I pray today that each person here would be encouraged, that they would realize the things that they are learning today, Lord, you could use that in their future for you, and that nothing that we learn is wasted. We thank you for calling Gary and his wife into your work, and Lord, as they prepare to move to Ecuador, Lord, that you would bless them. We pray, Lord, that you would multiply these gifts, these offerings today, that, Lord, they would be extended to help meet their needs. Lord, that you would bless them with the budget that they need to have and the cash flow that they need to have to continue to press forward for you. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.